The word of God given to us today is Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13, page 401 of the New Testament. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. While meditating on the scripture for today, a song that was popular years ago came to my mind. My Life is My Own is the title, and the first verse goes like this. My life is my own, my life is my own, just let me take care of it. My life is my own, my life is my own, I can take responsibility for it. Parents, I love you, but you ask for too much. Sometimes it was hard, but I had to do what you said. I didn't go where I wasn't supposed to, and I didn't do what I wasn't supposed to. So I was always a good child. Were you happy raising me like a flower, thinking I would be what you wanted me to be? But I can tell you now, you gave me your love, but I need more. Please don't leave my sad heart alone. My life is my own, my life is my own. Just let me take care of it. My life is my own, my life is my own. I can take responsibility for it. Most people live their lives thinking their lives are their own. I am myself and not another person. And my life is not someone else's, but mine alone. But if my life is my own, I should be able to do as I please. But this is hard and doesn't really happen. Things we would prefer to keep on changing. And things we would like to change, we should be able to change. But often will not change even over time. We also think we can take responsibility for ourselves and protect ourselves on our own. If life were like that, wouldn't it be great? But accidents happen unexpectedly. And attacks by diseases that we can't escape. And sometimes we are robbed of everything we worked for our whole lives. In the end, humans cannot take responsibility of themselves or protect themselves. The scripture for today tells us what we need to keep to and who is keeping and protecting us. Among the seven cities which receive letters from Christ, the city with the shortest history, the city that served as a pathway for Hellenistic language and culture, values, to reach other cities in Asia Minor. A city called Athens Minor that worshipped all sorts of gods daily. A city subject to frequent earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, so that fleeing outside the city was part of daily life. A city of great production and lively wine trade. This was Philadelphia. In a city filled with Hellenistic values and Hellenistic religion, the people of the Church of Philadelphia looked only to the Lord. They were people of little, that is, mikros, strength and capabilities, so small as to be invisible to the eye, so uninfluential that it was easy to ignore. This is what we mean by little or mikros. Little strength is a good way to describe the people of the Church of Philadelphia back then. It meant that there were not too many people in the church and most were poor. If the other churches in Asia Minor, such as the churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Sardis, built great halls of worship and boasted of large congregations, of course, in reality, back then, all churches were home churches. The Church of Philadelphia was one in which a small number of poor Christians rented a small church or part of a building to serve God. But the Lord praises them, saying that the Church of Philadelphia, with its little strength, kept the word of the Lord and did not forsake or deny his name. Little strength is not equal to little faith. Great strength and great faith are also not the same concept. In fact, little strength often means great faith. Jesus, when people worried about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear, answered that the Heavenly Father who raises the bird in the air and the lilies in the fields will take care of you, and rebuke them, calling them, "You of little faith." And a man once came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "My son has seizures and suffers greatly. He often falls into fire and water. Please heal him." This father, when Jesus and three disciples, Peter, Jacob, and John, were on the mountain, asked the remaining disciples at the bottom of the mountain for healing, but the disciples were unable to heal the disease. They had actually healed other similar patients before, but they could not heal this boy. After Jesus healed the child, the disciples quietly approached him, saying, "Why couldn't we drive the demon out?" Then the Lord answered, "Because you have so little faith." One day, Jesus was crossing Galilee with his disciples in a boat, and a great wind struck the lake, so that water kept coming into the boat. Even so, Jesus slept as if nothing was going on. After urgent request from his disciples, the Lord woke and rebuked the waves and made them calm. Then he said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" And when Jesus went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, a woman came saying her daughter was possessed terribly by a demon and asked for his mercy. But the Lord, unlike his usual self, was very cold to her. Even after all sorts of insults, she did not give up. And Jesus, saying that her wish would be granted, said, "Woman, you have great faith." Jesus did not rebuke his disciples or people, saying, "Why is your strength so small? Why do you not increase your capabilities?" The Lord's praise and rebukes were based on the size of their strength and the existence of faith. The size of their faith and the existence of faith. Faith is not about maximizing confidence that I can do it or borrowing from the Lord's strength for tasks that I want to accomplish, but it is adding myself onto the method and content of the acts of the Lord. If we look back on our own lives, we find what we have in abundance, what we do better than others, physical strength. These things do not make our faith great. Rather, the things that we have less or do not have at all, things that we are not better than others at doing, physical weakness, these things make our faith broader and deeper. The Church of Philadelphia did not think their lives were their own or that they were capable of doing well, so they could turn to the Lord in need only from time to time. They did not try to borrow the Lord's strength for things they wanted to do. Their tiny financial means, so small as to be invisible to the eye, and their lower social status that made people look down on them, made them have greater faith in the Lord and became a catalyst for them to look to Him. Even with little capabilities, they followed the word of the Lord and did not abandon or forsake His name. To the Church of Philadelphia, the Lord promised thus, verse 9, "I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you." What made the Church of Philadelphia suffer was not just Philadelphia's Hellenistic values or religious beliefs or poverty or social scorn. The Church of Smyrna also experienced the same. It was interference by Jews that was at the heart and center. During years of slavery in Babylon, the synagogue was to the children of Israel a precious pathway of faith. Because they could not spend the Jewish holidays in Jerusalem, they swallowed tears of grief by the river of Babylon and learned about God in the synagogue. Even after 70 years of slavery were over and they returned to Jerusalem, the synagogue continued. And 500 to 600 years afterwards, synagogues exist not only in Jerusalem, but all over Israel and the world. But many synagogues became no longer places to learn about God, but places to cling to Jewish traditions and values, and for people to try to advance their own interests and logic. So our Lord called them synagogues of Satan. The official title of the synagogue is Synagogue of the Lord. But our Lord, who is the owner of the synagogue, says that this assembly of Jews is owned not by himself, but by Satan. The Jewish population, when outsiders took an interest in Jewish religion or converted, thought they were similar to prisoners of war. So when outsiders kneeled before them, they thought it was like a sign of God's love for them. But our Lord says the opposite. The Church of Philadelphia would not kneel to the Jewish population, but the Jews would kneel to the Church of Philadelphia. These Jews thought that because they were the children of Abraham, they would automatically become God's people of covenant. But our Lord tells us that even with little strength, the Church of Philadelphia, which followed Jesus' word and did not forsake him, and those like them would become God's covenant people. The Lord's promise toward the Church of Philadelphia follows thus in verse 10, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from that hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth." The Lord says that the Church of Philadelphia followed the gospel. But he did not simply say gospel, but my gospel of patience. The NIV Bible in English expresses this as my command to endure patiently. Because the Lord, in order to fully realize God's will on this earth, endured the cross, to those who follow the Lord's word, endurance is also required. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2 bear witness. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy set before Jesus for the eternal salvation of God's people and the return to the throne of God, the Son, he did not mind all sorts of shame and embarrassment, and even endured death on the cross. For us who look to the Lord, perseverance is also required. In order to finish our life's race and our race of faith, there are two things we need to take off. That is, everything that hinders, or heavy things, and the sin that so easily entangles. Heavy things, or onkos, refers to lumps. For example, it can refer to weight or fat put on because of lack of exercise. Among marathon athletes, we do not find anyone who is overweight. Running a 2-hour marathon, it is difficult to finish if one is overweight with a heavy belly and lots of fat. Similarly, if we are overweight with materialism or preoccupied with success and piled under the fat of thinking what we see is everything and the joys of the world are the most important, we cannot safely finish the life race and race of faith, and we cannot persevere. If heavy things are what hinders from outside, the sins that easily entangle us are the obstructions that are inside of us. You can run a marathon by training your body into shape, but the race of faith requires that we train our minds into shape as well. The best way to shape our minds is to throw off sins that are inside of us. Even if we are in shape physically, if sin traps us, we are bound to stop our race in the middle and run again from the beginning. If you are overweight, that by in of itself will not stop you from racing. In fact, as you run, the weight of vanity and wrong values may come off of you. But sin makes you stop the race itself, and even if you run to the end, it will invalidate your race. The Church of Philadelphia, in order to keep the words of the Lord, did not enrich itself with Hellenistic values and did not put on the fat called Hellenistic religiosity. Further, it said no to the life in which one lived and drank in sin in order to enjoy the vanity that the city of Philadelphia offered. The Lord promises that He will watch over the Philadelphia church. That it will be kept from the hour of trial does not mean that the church will be spared from the trials. It means even if trials come, the Lord will allow the church to pass through the trials, that the Lord will not leave it alone to be buried under trials, but enable the church to come out of trials. The Church of Philadelphia keeping to the words of the Lord and the Lord keeping the Church of Philadelphia are two different things which cannot be compared. It cannot even be compared to a young child holding on to the hands of mom and mom and dad together holding on to the hands of the child with all of their strength. Although the hands of mom and dad are much stronger than the hands of the child, and even if the love of mother and father are added to their hands, the hands of the child and the hands of his or her mom and dad are the same in that they are finite. But the being who keeps the Church of Philadelphia is eternal. There is a saying that Jewish people did not keep the Sabbath, but the Sabbath kept the Jewish people. It is true. People who kept the Sabbath all their lives and lived out their faith life will come to confess at the end that, although it seemed I kept the Sabbath kept me. If we keep to good and healthy habits, those habits will keep us. If we keep our family will keep us. If we keep worship, the worship will keep us. And more than anything, if we keep to the Word, the Lord who gave us the Word will keep us. Thank you. An old humorous saying goes like this. Conversation between a Christian father and a young son. Son, coming to dad to show off. Dad, I know the meaning of the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Father, not able to believe, since the son is claiming to know the Bible that even he does not know well, says, really, you know the meaning of the Bible? Son, yes, that's what I said. Father, okay, what does it mean? Son, it's easy. It's basic information before leaving Earth. But God's words are not only needed when we leave the earth, but all the while that we live on this earth. So the Bible is not the Bible is not basic information, but the best information. There is a Korean word, 신독. Literally, it has the meaning of serving alone. This word comes from one of the four classics of Confucius' teachings, Daehak, or Great Learning, and means, when one is alone, one should take more care with one's manners and refrain from speaking so as not to breach what is right and proper. Last Friday, on the 21st, there was an entrance ceremony for the Air Force Academy. The academy apparently gave out mottos of honor and 신독 for graduates. It was probably meant as encouragement for the cadets to aspire to noble character and honor. What is noteworthy is that the word character 신 is made up further of the character 심, which denotes the heart, and 진, which denotes truth. The power that is able to cultivate the self in the right way does not come from one's will, but it comes in embracing the words of truth, the words of God. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. This is the promise and encouragement from the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for reminding us of how we can keep our life through the words you've given us today. We cannot keep it by singing, my life belongs to me, my life belongs to me. I can take responsibility for everything about me. We confess that neither can we do it with our will. At one time, we thought if we had great power, we could take responsibility for ourselves, our lives, and keep it, and so ran around in busyness. And yet, we confess that what we can keep is not ourselves or what we have, but it is your words and it is you who can keep us. Although it is not easy to keep your words as we live, help us so that we may keep to them in patience in the same way that the Church of Philadelphia did. Allow us to take off the weight of believing in money, believing in success and worldly pleasures, and to leave sin that entangles us, so that we can run the race of our lives and the race of faith well. And help us to keep to the right habits and experience such habits keeping us. Help us to experience how our family keeps us by keeping our family, and witness how worship keeps us by keeping to worship. More than anything, allow us to confirm how engaging in 신독 of embracing the words, even when we are alone, leads to the words keeping us, how the words become truth in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.